When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome back. Sports Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. And the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville in studio. EB is on the road. I put up our Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. You can vote at Junks Radio. We're talking about the Commanders' offense and why it has struggled the last 2 weeks. What's the biggest reason the offense has struggled? Three options: playing better defenses, Jaden isn't healthy, or you can vote on the Cliff Kingsbury swoon, which has been reported about Cliff Kingsbury's teams in the
NFL. I think
it
might be a little all of the above.
Could be.
Little all of the above.
All right, let's talk to our guy, John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, how are you?
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you have to vote, the biggest reason the Commanders' offense has struggled the last 2 weeks, playing better defenses, Jaden isn't healthy, or a Cliff Kingsbury swoon, what would you vote on?
Well, I mean, the first one is they are playing better defenses. That's how it is. And it's not to dismiss anything else, but even last week, I would say, like, last night to me was much different than last week, because last week there were a couple plays where, like, it's there. You just missed it. You dropped the ball. You know, so, like, there was, I felt like they kind of hurt themselves. I mean, first of all, Pittsburgh did a great job taking away his legs. Like, that was as good a job as anybody has done, just with the rush and et cetera, and kept him in the pocket. So that was one thing. They took that away. But, you know, there were, again, four drops, and then there were a couple missed throws that would have led to points, or point chances, right?
Right, there were more opportunities, like, so, the McCaffrey play, and you mean the De'Ami Brown touchdown.
Zacchaeus, well, you got De'Ami Brown, no, because they scored on that anyway.
Okay.
But you know, the Zacchaeus, McCaffrey, the quarterback draw where there was, if you hold your block, he's in field goal, they're in field goal range at the worst on the last drive. So there were multiple plays where you say, okay, you know, even despite playing good defense, despite all that, last night it just, there was nothing. And I think, you know, the Eagles defense is really good. They have a really good secondary. The receivers had four catches for 28 yards. Like, that to me is, and I haven't, you know, he's on my coach, like, you got to watch, I have to go back and watch it. What were they doing? And was that a matter of, are they speeding Jaden up a little bit where he's more inaccurate now in some cases? I think that's probably true. Is the injury affecting him more now? I don't know that that's the case, because I don't know. And I know, like, they say it's getting better, et cetera. So I don't know, but you have to wonder, because it hasn't been the same. Or, you know, also, was last night a game where they're going against a really good secondary, where maybe you start to, you know, maybe there's some things where, I mean, you look at the Eagles' talent with Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, like, they don't, you know, do you have that kind of combo to combat that? Like, obviously, Terry's very good. But I don't even want to say that, because, like, these guys, the receivers have been productive, but they didn't get anything. And why, was the line holding up as well? You know what I mean? So I think there's just a combo of factors. And I know, like, the Kingsbury stuff is interesting. I know it's hard to go there when, again, last week I felt like it was more about missed opportunities than it was just being shut down overall.
But
you know what I mean?
It
was a factor. It was a factor in Arizona, or at least, you know, it was certainly a storyline. And there were, you know, there were a couple times where it happened. And then one time, like, Connor Murray's out and James Conner's out. But the numbers were what they were. So I just think it's a little early to say that. I think seeing how it goes. And maybe it's just, you know, it could just be as simple as it's a good offense, but maybe not yet quite ready to challenge really good defenses.
Right. And honestly, I don't want to give Jaden like too much like, oh, he's hurt. He's hurt, because I've seen him rip these throws.
Right.
And then like you saw, John, like you were there when J.P. Finley put out that video of him running around throwing, laughing and joking. Like, he didn't look that hurt. But by the same token, they are wrapping him after every series. So something is going on. I don't know how much it's limiting him. I really have no idea. But something is going on still, because why would they be doing that, John?
Well, yeah, there's a protective nature with it, too. But I don't know that, you know, when you watch him, I think these pass rushes have sped him up a little bit. And I think that leads to maybe more things, right?
I agree with that.
Yeah, and so I think like that definitely has been the case a couple times. Where you're being chased, and he's not able to get outside the pocket at all. And
he's also not stepping into throws. Like, he's throwing off balance. You know, he's trying to use some of these. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're definitely, it's all of that. And, you know, I think the other thing is, like, you know, it just tells you how high the standards have been raised, or expectations have been raised.
Totally.
That, you know, this is still his first go round here. That's the hard part, is you don't know. If he had started the season like this, you would say, okay, he's a rookie. You know, it's just that's happened. You got to get used to this. But when you start the way he and they did, and had a stretch of games where they were really, really good, then you start to wonder, well, why isn't it the same, obviously? And so, but I do think the pass rushes have had something to do with that, too.
EB, because just to shift off of Jaden, we only have so much time. The running game the last 2 weeks. Now, Jaden's part of that, but the running game against the Steelers, you run for, I think it was 60 yards on 22 carries yesterday, 22 carries for 93 yards. I think that's also a big part of it. What if defenses done to shut down the run?
I would say, well, first of all, again, Steelers defense, these are two of the best run defenses. So, and they've played the three of the best, which is Baltimore and then these two. So again, you know, are they equipped personnel wise to always handle that, you know? And I think last night too, it was at times efficient. It's just that it wasn't explosive. And when you convert as poorly as they did on third downs, you don't get more opportunities. I mean, look at last week with the Steelers, yesterday, Barkley, they're doing a pretty good job on him. And then you just get worn down, and it, boom, he hits a few, right? And it looks a lot different. And when you get opportunities, and they just don't, there were a decent number of runs, but to me, it's like part of that is it was efficient, but not explosive, and they needed more carries, and that goes back to third down. But I think like Pittsburgh last week, that front was really good. And again, I don't know, like, you had a replace, you know, Trent Scott in right tackle. I thought he did a good job in pass pro, but there were times where it's like, okay, maybe some of that, you know, the lack of reps with maybe the guy next to you sometimes could have hurt you. And then you had, you know, a couple runs where, I mean, shoot, on the fourth down, it looks like, you know, you have several linemen pulling to the right and Cosme going to the left. Like, that's a mistake, right? And so there's a little bit of that, but that stuff happens in games. So, like I said, I think I just wonder, not having Robinson in the last week, that's going to affect it. And then I think not getting more opportunities when it was okay and you could get more and maybe it looks a little bit better, that hurts it. But, you know, again, do you have the personnel to challenge those defenses at this point? That's also something I think I would wonder.
John,
how
did B-Rob emerge health-wise from last night's game? Because at a few moments, it looked like he was kind of doubled over going to the sideline, because him and Eckler's snap shares were basically identical. Robinson was in on one more snap than Eckler.
Yeah, I think he's okay. I don't have a good answer for that. After those games, it's hard to get to everybody, but I think he's okay. So, you know, and again, you can go back to the run game. Like, sometimes, after a game like that, like, it's really hard to say until you go back and watch, like, what was going on. Were they doing something differently? Were they crowding the box and making, you know, so that's the other thing I would, that I want to go back and look and to see is that part of it as well.
All right, so let's get to Dan Quinn's decision to go for it. Fourth and two, right. Philadelphia 26. The game is still 12-10 at that point. A field goal puts you up 13-12. I believe the field goal would have been roughly a 44-yarder. Did Quinn comment on why they went for it? I'm speculating at that point they just weren't stopping Philadelphia's offense.
That's a big part of it, and for sure. So, I mean, I think that would probably be the main part of it. You're going to need more than three to win that game. He also said that because of the way Philadelphia was moving the ball, you wanted to control the ball a little bit more, too, if you had that opportunity. So whether or not the drive would have finished in a field goal four plays later, you're running more clock and you're keeping, you're getting defense a little bit, you know, giving a little bit more rest on the sideline. So, but yeah, that was a big reason. And I mean, the hard part for them is they got stuffed on third and, you know, second and one and third and one too. I mean, that, you forget that first play on that sequence was a 9-yard run. So, or pass. So, you know,
well, John, what I said is just watching us, and maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree. You know, they've given up six sacks the last 2 weeks against these really good defenses.
Right.
But to me, the bigger problem has not been the outside. It's been the interior players. So yesterday it was Carter, and against Pittsburgh it was Hayward.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's why I say, like, I mean, those are obviously very good tackles, but that's what you're – that's who you block, right? So, yes, that's why I say, like, do you have, you know, and I think, like, for the most part, they've been pretty good this year, and they've deserved credit. But those guys were problems, you know, and they're really good, but they were problems. And, again, on that fourth and two play, that's the play I'm talking, you know, first of all, Jaden said that he told us he had to be louder with his cadence, and I'm not sure that, you know, because he thought maybe Biotis didn't snap when he was ready for it or whatever. But when you look at it, it's like everybody's going on the snap. So I don't know that that was the case, but it looks like, you know, there's a reason Daniels bobbled it. And it could have been because he's just pulling away a little bit early. But again, you have Cosme starts pulling to his left and everybody else is going to the right. And that allows Carter to get into the backfield and push Daniels wide, and then that just messed up the play. That the play was dead at that point. If you are able to get out and go right away, then you've got a chance. You have a pretty good chance. So,
John, can you interpret what Terry was saying beyond sort of the face of it? Because I understand the face of it. When he said, it's easy to talk about brotherhood when you're winning. Right?
Right.
And so I'm assuming he means now we're going to be tested. Let's still.
Yeah.
So is he saying that kind of like cynically, like it wasn't even true before?
No, not at all. That's also not how he does things, but no, it's more, you know, so back in, God bless, 2000, that if you know, people who are older, like you remember they start off 6-2, and that was all the whole Deion gang and Bruce Smith, and you know, everything was great and they're 6-2 and rolling, and then they lost the game and then they started going downhill. And I remember talking to Larry Centers after the season. He's like, you know, we were talking about like it's like things were going well. He goes, yeah, but you don't know what you have until you get punched in the mouth. And so that's all this. So this is going to test how all that connectivity, right? And I would say like that part, I don't worry about that part at all because I think it is an extremely close team that I don't, you know, if they go down, it's not because they're going to splinter. It's because maybe things caught up to them, whatever. And I still think this team, even after this two-game stretch, which you knew was going to be a very difficult one, this team can still win 11 games, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, I don't think that the brotherhood aspect is going to be a problem for them. I think it's more, the question was, I think that was my question, is that, you know, this is when you find out what you really have when you go through adversity, period. And I think they'll find out that they do have that. Now you have to get back to the field and fix those things. Like that other part isn't going to be a problem, but you got to fix the on-field stuff because that's going to, you know, you got to get the passing game back. I mean, there just hasn't been enough explosive stuff.
Right.
And, John, just to address the defense real quick before you let you go, Philly did score on their last six drives. Yeah. So field goal, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Or yes, that's the last five drives. I thought the secondary played a lot better than we expected, yeah. And that's without Marshon Lattimore.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I give I agree. And there, so I think one of the things that Lattimore can help them with too, though, is if you want to stop a guy like Barkley, you've got to really load the box. And that means you're going to be in a lot more man situations on the outside, and that he gives you that ability. There are a lot of times where they're going to keep two deep safeties to take away stuff over the top. That said, they did play very well in coverage. And like Sam Ristill, there were a couple of times where Sam Ristill is covering A.J. Brown. And, you know, you would – I don't want to – that's not the most ideal matchup given that Brown is a big receiver. And I thought Sam Ristill did a pretty good job when he was matched against him, right? You know, and it wasn't all the time, but there was a couple times where and he did a good job. There was one, I think he gave up a slant, but like, okay, that happens. But he certainly did a good job. I mean, those two receivers, he and Smith combined for less than what is like probably less than 95 yards, I think.
Yeah, and he broke up the pass in the end zone to Smith, so that was a nice play too.
Yeah, and so, you know, I agree. I think the corners did a good job. I mean, I think they would take that every week. It's just that, like, that was my problem entering this game is exactly like, how are you going to stop that offense? Because there are just so many parts. And the one thing they haven't done well consistently all year is stop the run. And you have to stop Saquon Barkley. Because if you don't, it's hard to stop that offense. And if you can put it in, you know, make Jalen Hurts just be a passer, then the changes. It could change things for them. Like, that's what you want to do, but you don't. You know that Barkley is going to just control it if you let him, and that's what started to happen for sure.
By the way, I think that's what defenses have done to Washington. They've made Jaden just a passer because they've limited the runs, and Washington's offense hasn't been as successful. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
John Keim covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts didn't have a particularly great game. He threw for 221 yards. You look at what he did to receivers. They combined for 10 catches and 100 yards total. Jahan gave him one.
Yeah, I mean,
the first
catch of the game, yeah. And then Shocker.
I didn't think Jalen was overly impressive, although he had some nice runs.
Yeah.
He escaped pressure when he had to, but he wasn't, you know, lighting it up by any means.
Right.
But the offense in the end... If you look at those last five drives starting in the second half, 15 plays, 87 yards field goal. That was the end of the half. So going into the half, you're up 10-3. First time the Eagles get the ball in the second half, 10 plays, 74 yards, settled for a field goal. So Washington doing a good job, bend but don't break. Then the next time they go 11 plays, 76 yards. So all three of those drives, three in a row, were over 74 yards and resulted in one touchdown and two field goals. So I think that was the biggest factor as to why they went for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal. But when we come back, we want to touch on who gets the majority of the blame for the lackluster performance. We talk specifically about Jaden. Is it Jaden? Is it the running game? How much do you put it on Cliff Kingsbury? I saw a lot of people on social media saying, man, they're running a lot of running back draws.
They're just waiting to attack Kingsbury.
And there is that narrative on the Kingsbury swoon. So
he's back on probation, Cakes.
I know. That you.
Who do you blame the most?
Hairy eyeball on him.
Who do you blame the most for the lackluster performance? You can give us a call on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines at 800-636-1067 on a Misery Friday, brought to you by Chiniga Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV on a Misery Friday, brought to you by Chiniga Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. You know, on Monday, these things are branded. We called it Misery Monday. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel it was that miserable because close game, lost to Steelers, and it was a short week. You knew you had the Eagles coming up. And I think all of us would have said if they win one out of those two, that's fantastic. right? But now that you've lost both of those games, and then the offense just doesn't look right.
You can brand it a misery Friday.
I think it's kind of miserable.
It's okay.
It's definitely, I would have maybe dubbed it a frustrating Friday because you're frustrated, right? So in the last two games, in a short period of time, they've had 11 punts. This offense was not like that earlier this season.
I miss the high-flying days of when they're beating up on the Bengals and the Cardinals and scoring 38, 42, 34 against the Browns. Take me back to the times when they're hanging a 40 spot on the stupid Carolina Panthers. And those are the good old days.
And in this game, you're outgained 434 to 264.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it before. If you took out the last drive, it would be even a greater disparity. Now, you can make an argument. Hey, it was 12 to 10. It's the fourth quarter. They kick a field goal. They can grab the lead there late in the game. And the Steelers game could have gone either way. So you can make that argument. But to me, who do you blame for the performance last night? You want to do the blame pie deal? I mean, a lot of it's on Jaden. I think a lot of it is on Cliff Kingsbury. I don't want to buy into Cliff Kingsbury's second half swoon, but we're starting to see it.
How are we just letting Dan Quinn off the hook for not taking the points?
No, you can, like, you can certainly.
I think that's a huge part of the blame pie. Like, he has to be called out for that, and he'll cop to it. He knows that was a huge swing portion of the game, and look, that could have deflated your entire team when you just need 2 yards at that point to keep the drive going. Like, by the way, that went from second and inches to a fourth and two. Like, they just kept going backwards on that drive. That was discouraging, not taking those 3 points.
But conversely,
not saying that would have won them the game because there was still a lot of time left.
Yeah.
But I think that definitely, like, that hurts the psyche.
So you kicked
the
field goal there. I think conversely, though, he's thinking about the psyche is that it would uplift the team if they convert it.
He was looking for a jolt.
On year, they had so much success on fourth down conversions. So they probably felt confident with their play calls. And I keep bringing this up, but the three previous drives to that fourth down, the Eagles had driven the ball 87 yards, settled for a field goal, 74 yards, settled for a field goal, 76 yards, scored a touchdown. So they were having their way with the Commanders' defense at that point. So I think that forced his hand.
The biggest factor in this little swoon is Jaden Daniels. And I love Jaden, and I think he's generational, and I think he's going to be an elite player. But he's just had off game for whatever reason. I don't know if it's injury. I don't know if it's just, you know, obviously he's not getting the same protection up front. Obviously they're playing much better teams. But he gets the credit for all those dynamic games he had beforehand. He was unbelievable. But I agree with him. He has to play better. So to me, the number one factor, it's a huge factor they're playing better teams. It's a huge factor that he's banged up. But the number one overall factor why we're losing these games, Jaden's not playing his A game. And everybody, all great players, I mean, Lamar Jackson doesn't have an A-plus game every time. He pretty much does this year. But, you know, C.J. Stroud doesn't always have a great game. Jalen Hurts doesn't always have a great game. And I think for the last 2 weeks, Jaden's clearly been off. And I think that's the number one reason why the offense hasn't been as productive as it has been.
I agree with you, and we often wonder how they come up with that QBR number, but the QBR, an average QBR, is 50. On the season, Jaden Daniels is a 67, so well above average. But the last 2 weeks, he's had a 36.1 QBR and a 22.1 QBR. So he's certainly been off, and I think everything you say is accurate, EB. Some of it is who they're playing. Some of it is probably more film and they're desperate to keep in the pocket. We'll never know how much health is a factor. And then, I'm sorry, Kingsbury, you want to put him on probation? I think he is on probation. Until he proves that narrative wrong, it's going to be brought up.
Well, why are we throwing all the screen passes? Like, throughout the game, like, what are we doing? Let's look downfield every once in a while.
I'm guessing the receivers are just blanketed. But
maybe that's true, Cakes. But, I mean, within 2 seconds, I mean, 1.5 seconds, he's just dumping it off. Like, how much is he even looking downfield the last couple weeks?
Hard to tell. Hard to tell unless you got the all 22 and you know the progressions and where he's supposed to go first and second.
I'm too cheap. I mean, I used to pay for it.
And
I'm too
not Logan Paulson. I can't break stuff down like that. Are you kidding? All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067, the MGM National Harbor listener lines.
The all 22 is also butt boring. There's no audio. Oh, it's literally, it puts you to sleep.
Melatonin. All right, let's go to Bernard. He's listening in York, PA on the Odyssey app, I'm assuming. Bernard, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm not an expert or anything. You know, I'm sort of a layman. But I think there's a couple of factors. One, I think Jaden might have hit that infamous rookie wall. Mm-hmm. Also, I think the center, Biadasz, I don't think he's 100%. I think he's has a gimpy ankle. I just think it's it's a few factors. I don't think Jaden is healthy. I think he's still suffering from that rib injury. So it's a lot of factors. Like I said, and then they have film on them, so they pretty much know what they're doing to know how to defend it. That's all I want to say. I just think that they'll get better as the health improves. That's just my opinion.
Right, thank you, Bernard.
Thank you, Bernard. Appreciate the call.
You know, also, I think we're focusing on the offense. Also, the defense. All right. I wouldn't say what's the biggest factor. I agree with you, EB. It's Jaden. But the defense hasn't played well enough to win. It really was Sunday, but let's just say last week against the Steelers, they gave up, big throws. This week it wasn't on the secondary, but they gave up a ton of yards on the ground. Now, I thought they did a pretty good job for roughly three quarters. But in the end, Philadelphia wore them down, and they ended up with 434 yards of offense. So the defense wasn't getting it done.
They need Lattimore to be ready for the Cowboys game.
That'd be a big help.
Need him to go out there and just say, hey, you know what, CeeDee Lamb, that's your guy. You're following him all over the field. You never leave him. Hopefully they have that luxury going into the next game.
Also, you bring up punts a lot, and I think your magic number in the past kind of cynically was, well, if we can force three punts.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they did. Three punts. That's not enough. Out of 10 drives, the Eagles set up for at least a field goal on 7 of them.
That's how low the bar's been. But also, that's how explosive our offense has been.
Right.
And it's just not been there in the last couple of weeks.
And I mean, I'd like to see the stats on how many teams win games when they're 1-for-10 on third down conversions late into the game. They had a few meaningless ones on the last drive. I barely count those. But when it counted, they were 1-for-9 or 1-for-10.
That ties into the running game being ineffective, and all of a sudden now you can't convert on third down. Like, you got to have the running game in there, too.
All right, let's go to Paul. He's calling you from D.C. Paul, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
What's up, Paul?
Yeah, you can't call it a frustrated. It's the F-F Friday, and I'm going to tell you why. The coaches are to blame
like
for this loss. The coaches are to blame. And don't give Cliff Kingsbury a pass, because here's the deal. If Jaden is hurt, then don't put him out there in two games in 4 days. You go ahead and go with Marcus Mariota. That's why you signed him, especially if you think you're going to lose the game. But Dan Quinn not kicking that field goal changed the dynamics of the game. You can't blame it on the defense. I'm going to tell you why. The defense, if you told the defense that you were going to only give up 21 points or 19 points to Philadelphia Eagles, one of the top offensive teams in the game, you would take that. They were on the field the whole game, bro. The whole game. You just read down the drives, 11 plays. The offense had sustained very little drives. So at the end of the day, if Jaden is hurt and you can't throw the ball down the field, then guess what? Play somebody else or run the ball more. It's not so much the running game wasn't working. He don't stick with it long enough. He do a couple of runs and then he go right back to throwing four.
They haven't had success. This isn't Eric Bieniemy. Thanks for your call. This isn't Eric Bieniemy's offense, Paul. If you look at it, again, I keep bringing up these numbers, but they are what they are. Against Pittsburgh, they ran the ball 22 times for 60 yards. Yesterday, 22 times for 93 yards. Jaden's part of that. All right. Jaden isn't running like he had in some of the games earlier, but they're just not having the success. Maybe it's because they're playing better guys. I'm telling you, Hayward was a force in the Steelers game, and Jalen Carter was a force in this game.
Well, luckily, they face a softer defense after, what is it, a 10-day break, little mini bye. Like, Dallas is giving up nearly 30 points per game.
And I do think
you should have a softer landing spot against them.
And I do think some of Jaden's success is tied to the success of the running game.
Certainly. Of course.
Let's go. You also notice defensively, they're running a bunch of different guys in there. I mean, hell, there was a guy in there yesterday. I'm embarrassed to admit, I didn't know who the guy was. I mean, Sheldon Day jumped out at me last week, and I thought he made some plays again this week. But there was another guy in there, Julius or something. I don't even know who one of those interior guys was. I had never heard of him.
I think you're talking about Jalen Holmes. I saw him. I was like, who's that dude? I had the same issue.
What's going on? Well, I can't even ID a couple of these guys.
Lost Jonathan Allen, so they need some depth.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Actually, we'll take a quick break. Come back to more of your calls. Who gets the majority of the blame for the struggles? Is it Jaden Daniels? That's what EB has said. Is it the defense? Is it the coaching? More of your calls next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 on a Misery Friday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Commanders fall to the Eagles 26-18. That's their second loss in a row. You expanded out. That's three losses in the last six. But the losses are to the Ravens, very good team, Super Bowl contender. The Steelers, very good team, Super Bowl contender. And the Eagles, very good team, Super Bowl contender. Loss to the Eagles stings a little more because creates some separation in the NFC East. Now the Commanders trail them by a game and a half, but their schedule does get softer here the next 3 weeks.
What do you make of the idea that of these three losses, obviously they're all better teams, like they're, you know, top teams, but also they're teams with very, very mobile quarterbacks. And that they're very aware, and they practice against this kind of thing, and they're aware of that skill set. It doesn't kind of shock them. Now, I know a lot of quarterbacks are mobile in today's NFL, but I just wonder, do you think that's factoring in at all? Small percentage? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see Russ as a super mobile guy anymore, but he is to some extent. I just think
they had
just,
Fields.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's a factor there. I mean, who the three wins? You beat the Giants. I mean, Daniel Jones is a mobile guy.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he just stinks.
You beat the Bears.
Unless he's playing the Commanders sometimes.
I mean, here's a cynical look at the Commanders, right? And I'm not necessarily buying into it, but if you look at the last six games, you could be 2-4, but for the Hail Mary. So you haven't been playing good winning football the last 6 weeks like you did in the first half of the season. The lucky thing is they bankrolled some wins, right? At 7-2, you could afford to lose these two games. Now, you better win the next one. You better win the next one.
And again, this is a team that had a 6.5 win total in Vegas heading into the season.
Yeah.
Like, they're trending towards double-digit wins. Anything they do beyond what they've done already is pure gravy. They're way ahead of schedule at this point.
There is, but Cakes, if they go into their standard second half swoon,
right? I mean, you don't want that to
last 25 years.
Of course, you don't want them to regress like they have in years past. And I think with a better coaching staff, superior coaches up and down the sideline, I don't think that's going to happen. Especially with two supposed cupcakes before the bye in Dallas and the Titans.
At 7-2, though, the expectations changed a little bit.
Sure.
At 7-2, we all said, hey, this team has a legitimate chance to win the NFC East and can do some damage. Now, you've seen them play a couple of the heavyweights, and at 7-4, you're like, okay, they're probably not as good. At least that's the way that I feel. You're not as good
as
those guys.
You got to hold on now. Now you got to fasten your seatbelt, hold on, try to get to 10-11. And, you know, make the most of your great start. You got to a great start. See if you can maximize it.
Let's try to get through some of these calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's go to Daryl in Reston. Daryl, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, Junks. Hey, listen. I knew it was coming. You cannot go out there in this day and age without two number one wide receivers. This receiver by committee is ridiculous. You can't beat the better teams with a third wide receiver. You need two number ones. Look at all the other teams. They have two number ones. They'll open up the defense for you. Then you can't have a slow tight end and Ertz. You have to get Ben tonight. You have to get him on the field and have him get down the field. He has to stretch the defense. But you can't go out there with a slow tight end and wide receivers that can't even catch.
I don't think that's the biggest issue, Daryl, and I would argue with you. Daryl, I'd argue with you about the two number ones because the Chiefs Chiefs currently don't have two number one wide receivers. Now they have Patrick Mahomes. Farcical that a couple weeks ago people were suggesting taking Jaden Daniels over Patrick Mahomes, but that's neither here nor there. They don't have two number one receivers. I think the Bills, you'd make an argument, they traded for Amari Cooper, but they don't have two number one stud receivers. The two number one receivers thing, I'm not saying they can't upgrade at wide receiver. I do think that they should try to upgrade at wide receiver.
They will during
but
the offseason.
They haven't been able to run the football the last two games.
I mean, I like
Jaden hasn't played as well, and the defense isn't stopping guys now.
I like Noah Brown, and I like, you know, he's been decent, but I think they can do better through free agency and the draft, obviously.
I totally agree, but we're talking about what's the biggest factor. Do you think that's the biggest factor as to why they've lost?
It's not the biggest, but I mean, you do want to give your young quarterback the best surrounding ecosystem that you can.
Nobody will argue that.
We need a Trent Williams. We need a couple studs on the O-line.
Well,
we can't just keep plugging, you know, kind of like veteran guys and young guys that we're trying to groom. Like, we need a couple studs.
Right, again, going to what Ross Tucker said, and it kind of goes to what Elliot Shore Park said on the show yesterday. The team on the other side of the ball, almost at every positional group, they have better players. Like, who on the Commanders would start on the Eagles? Maybe Luvu. Luvu is a stud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but who else on the defense would start for the Eagles? Beyond Luvu, who else would start on that Eagles defense?
Guys.
And then you could probably do the same thing on the offense. Like, all right, Terry McLaurin, but their receivers are right up there with Terry McLaurin.
I would say Terry McLaurin and Devontae Smith are comparable.
Okay.
Comparable
so
skill levels.
Who else on the offense would start?
AJ Brown's better.
Anybody on the offensive line would start over their offensive line?
Probably
they got a,
not.
They got a top offensive line.
All right, let's go to Kendall in Temple Hills. Kendall, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Kendall.
Hey, buddy.
So there's so many things going on here. Mm-hmm. I would say Cliff Kingsbury because we knew what that narrative was coming in, and it looks like once the film is out, he's not making adjustments. But then you got Jaden, who's clearly hurt. Because I think, E.B., you mentioned golf. It's like golf, but it really isn't like golf. The reason why is this, and it may be because I'm not a golfer, but the mechanics of being a quarterback are repeatable. And when I'm looking at Jaden, when I looked at Jaden before the injury, his mechanics were always on point. His feet were always good. Now, his mechanics are off, and it seems like he may be compensating for that injury. I've never seen so many inaccurate throws, dirt balls, and things like that.
He's not setting his feet right. He's not setting his feet right.
No, yeah, everything is off with him. He's been off ever since that Carolina game. And so that is a factor. And if that's a factor, then Cliff has to be more creative in calling the plays. I remember how he was talking about before the injury, how the offense was keeping people off balance, keeping the same packages in, but doing different formations and confusing people. And again, the level of competition definitely is a factor as well. So there's a lot of different factors that are making this thing up. I just look at it like we're ahead of schedule. We're not ready for the big boys yet. We need more talent. There's a talent, you guys just spoke to that. We have a talent deficiency. We're punching above our weight class right now, but we're not ready for prime time. But we'll make the playoffs more than likely because of the cupcake schedule. And we'll just keep building next year, man. That's what I'm looking at. But I do want to see Jaden get healthy because he doesn't look like this. He doesn't look like the same confident quarterback that we're used to seeing. And I think it's because he's kind of favoring the injury.
Yep. Thanks,
it's possible. We're never going to know about the injury. One thing about Cliff's offense, all right, and Jason brought this up before the season, and it's proven to be true. They actually run the football. So Bieniemy was pass happy. They've tried to run the football. Well, the last 2 weeks, they haven't been able to do it. And when they were having success, if you were to look at Jaden Daniels' game log, it wasn't like he was throwing the ball 40 times in a game. In fact, that's never happened. When they were winning, he was throwing in the 25 to 30 range.
You don't want to do that to your rookie.
I think I heard, and I'd have to do the math, like update it, but in terms of pass attempts per game of all the quarterbacks, he was something like around 28th in the league. So They were winning, yes, because Jaden was really good. Excellent. Great efficiency. Quarterback rating, great. Taking care of the football. But also because they were running the football so well, which was helping them pass the football. And the last 2 weeks, they haven't been able to run.
Let's sneak in BJ's call. He's in California. BJ, you're on with the Junks, listening on the Odyssey app. Thank you.
Yes, of course. Hello. Yeah, I think it goes to Dan Quinn. I think that was a very conservative offensive play call. I think him being a defensive coach probably overruled Cliff Kingsbury, and I think he was just, I mean, those that second down, run. Third down, run. And then fourth and two, you decide to go for it. It's just, you play a conservative game all three quarters, and then you decide to go crazy on the fourth down play. Is just, it's crazy to me.
Did you want them to kick the field goal there?
Absolutely.
I put up a poll. I put up a poll on X yesterday.
Thanks,
it was only a 10-minute poll because I didn't want it to be up much. I was like, do you agree with going for it on fourth down? Only 15% liked the move.
Right.
Well, it's hard after they miss.
Of course. Hindsight's 20/20. I'll keep saying it. And I didn't hear Dan Quinn talk about it. They did it because they had lost confidence in the defense stopping
the
Eagles.
Well, he's not going to say that. You think Dan Quinn's going to get up and say, I didn't have faith in my defense to make a stop?
No, but he might say it in a more political way, like we felt like we needed to score more points to win the game.
Right. I think it's all of that. And I think he was looking for a jolt. You know, he's looking also sustain the drive and keep burn clock.
Jolt or dolt.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
new game show.
Give the defense a break, too. You know, I mean, all those things factor in. I didn't love it. I would have kicked it. Anytime you have a chance to take the lead, I probably would take the lead. I didn't love it, but by the same token, I did think they had a reasonable chance to get it.
All right.
It wasn't outrageous.
You understood it, though.
Yeah, I understood it totally.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to call us in the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Coming up next, it's Fridays with Feinstein here on The Fan.